I like that.
No,
that was my fault. Sorry.
Only one who brings in children.
All right. We're going to call to order our tech meeting. It's July 1st, 2026. It's 1:01 p.m. Welcome. Thanks, everyone, for being here and shifting the location. We realized it'd be a lot easier to get us here if we did it here in Cedar, so thank you to Cedar City for hosting us. We need to approve the minutes from May 6, 2026.
Motion to approve. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That motion carries. We need to move now to the corridor preservation priority list. We're going to have a discussion and recommend approval to the COG by Nate Weiberg.
Okay, so that's this handout here. I sent it to you yesterday, and I think a month and a half ago. Not a lot of changes this year. There's one before the RTAC last month. They wanted to recommend some changes to this year. So we added to the list this year the bottom three. So number 35, 36, and 37. 100 North Corridor from 1000 West to Main Street and Parowan. 36 frontage roads from 400 North to Old Highway 91 on the southeast side of I-15 and Parowan. And 37 Spanish Trail Drive from Half Mile Road to Bulldog Road in the Enoch County. And those are the big changes. Just a reminder, this one can only be adopted once a year. We typically do that this month. So is any other projects that need to be added before we approve it? It might be a good idea to, if there's any discussion to that. But those are the ones that the RTAC felt strongly about having on this year. And,
I guess I have a question, because but we don't have a map put in that, but I don't know if this would be an office list or not, but Bulldog from Mid Valley up to the Belt Route. Is that on the
check? Yeah. Maybe I will do a map too.
So
you mean going
from Mid Valley north
to okay, past the pond and then out? Good.
Yeah, is there a pond there? I don't know. Yeah. But I can't read. This is too small.
I don't see that project. I'm not familiar with that project.
Well, it's just long that I didn't wait. From Mid Valley north to the ground.
Hold on, good ends at Mid Valley, and then there's a private driveway going north, and then goes out to Harding's place and all that.
Yeah,
Harding.
And then, what's their names? Clark's
house was. Oh, yeah, Clark's out there where we want to run. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it needs to be on there. That was just kind of a question. That would be one that we'd want to have.
Okay.
Do you know if that's on your transportation master plan?
I'm lost.
Yes. Bulldog from Mid Valley north to the Belt Route. Yeah, it should be.
That Enoch City still right there? Is that
Bulldog is? No, it's that's county right now.
You say Mid Valley?
Mid Valley going north to the Belt Route.
So it would be extending Bulldog Road north from Mid Valley Road to the new bypass road.
And with what development we have, it's kind of planned that is coming to us, that road's going to be critical before too long. So,
okay. So the process, if you feel like it'd be a good idea, like if we're going to be looking possibly at getting COG funding for that next year or two, it might be a good idea to add that now. I can work you with your staff.
Do you think it would be within that time frame? It might not be.
It might not be for the next year, but it might be nice to just have on there just so we, in case it does.
That's the only thing that I was thinking about. I might be good to have on this list too.
Okay.
So, Nate, is that something we could amend that with now?
We can amend that now. We require an application to be on this list, so we can do that, and I'll just get with Ryan to get that application in the next month or two. But we can add that in.
Okay, sorry. Just when you asked, if we thought of anything else. Yeah. I was like, that is going to be one that's going to matter. So, okay, sorry.
Any other amendments or discussions to this list? Do you need a minute to look through it?
No, I think I'm good.
I don't want to prolong the meeting, but why is the Cedar Highlands Road on there? I thought that was a private road for Cedar Highlands owns, and that's why they incorporated it, then they unincorporated it. Why is that on this deal?
That one, I can't tell you. I was involved during that process. But the idea behind this list is that if you need to acquire right-of-way, then this allows the process for this body, for the COG, to approve the funding for that right-of-way.
The county got corridor preservation money to acquire two parks.
Do you want to come up to the microphone just because we do have people on?
Pay attention. I'll
the county had put that on the list so that they could acquire two parcels so that they could realign it and then sell off the two parcels. But that was more of a function of the county. Cedar Highlands is an entity when they were for a minute working together.
And then you're going to be a land.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious.
But I just know that it was put on and used. And the reason it was kind of it was weird because when it was dissolved, we had to take extra work to make sure because a judge actually disposes of the extra assets. We had to hurry and make a claim. The county did to make sure that those two parcels would go back to the county so that it could be properly sold and put back in the corridor preservation funds. But that's why it's on there. I don't know what the thinking was, but I think it preceded all of this.
Is that already taken care of? Like, is that something we could take off or is that something?
I'd say the county probably ought to provide input on that.
Does the county, there are representatives from the county, but is the county to these meetings?
Well, I do remember that when Nate came and talked to us about that, I think Rich had mentioned that was on there. It was for a safety improvement, and like Dan said, it was for a realignment. And so I think it was on there in the event that there was ever a grant or funding that we'd have that there in connection with, you know, that. So I think when we had discussed, Rich did talk about leaving it on there because it's not for the entire roadway up to Cedar Highlands or anything like that. It was for a portion for a realignment for a safety measure.
Yeah, it struck me as why that place was actually founded in 91-92 as a seasonal area. It was never ever supposed to be a full-on homeowner place. And it's been nothing but a pain in the county, but
is that unincorporated county now?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, they incorporated in, it's not for a long meeting, but they incorporated in thinking they could do what they wanted to be able to make it better up there. And then they found out their tax base would have to be Triple Park City to have the tax base in order to get anything done. And then they'd have to pay for the sheriff and the fire and everything after that. So then they unincorporated and they realized it was too much gasp.
So I think you make a really, really good point. And that's been a source of friction for a long time. But one thing I want to point out, corridor preservation can be used to acquire land. It can't be used to build a road. So there's no worry that this money would be used to build a road that the citizens up there need to build with an assessment area or something like that. It's really about being able to acquire land for widening it or realigning it. And it is a public road that needs to be open and maintained. The question is who builds it, but this money could never be used for that. So probably not that big of a deal.
It's ridiculous for us to spend county money for 50 residents. You know what I mean? When we could use that same money to be able to impact better parts of the county, in my opinion, but it was just my property. It's a different situation.
Yeah. Okay, so I'd motion to approve the recommended list with the one amended item from Olog. from Mid Valley up to the Bell Route on Bulldog, pending application from each city.
All second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I'm Renee. Do I vote? I can't remember. I do, right?
Yeah, you can vote.
Okay. All right. That motion carries. Thank you. All right. We're now going to move to item four. This is the 100 North Corridor Preservation Application from Heroin and Dan just want to speak to it.
My team is pleased. Dan,
I'm done after this one. Other than I got it.
Sure.
I'm done with this one after this one.
I don't think I do it.
Oh boy. Okay.
I thought Nate was going to handle that.
I think he is. So we're just applying to acquire a small piece of property that's necessary to connect a minor collector, which is 100 North. Unfortunately, Center Street has already been blocked many years ago. So 100 North is the connector that we've designated to go through on the east-west corridor. And there's one little piece of property that we don't have yet. And they've approached the city about acquiring that. So I was going to have a map and all that, and I literally rushed back from the airport in Vegas to get here. So there's physical copies. We had an appraisal done. And we didn't have an appraisal done. The property owner did. The city accepted it as a fair value of that property. And not sure what else to say. This property will be larger than what is needed for the road. So, I mean, it's only slightly larger than an acre, but we really only need a portion of the property for the road to go through there. So we'll be selling off the difference.
Yes, this is the one you're going to buy. And sell it.
Yeah, we'll buy it, survey it where the road goes, and sell the difference.
I will approve it for sewer in a moment.
We'd love to put sewer. It's the easiest subdivision ever. Sewer, water, power, and road on both sides of it. Put a little road through it. Divide it into four or five lots and sell it. So
this is an application to for funds, or is this to pretty
for? This is for funds. This is actually by the property.
Wait, did we say a dollar amount? There's
market analysis.
So that was on the application. Do you have a copy of the application?
Okay.
You go to the application. Not to exceed $192,150. The property is $187,500. We have estimated appraisal closing fees and things like that, which we always try to estimate slightly high just in case, but we will only have actually you ask the county for a check for the actual cost.
So we're doing $187,500.
Yeah, plus the closing costs.
Follow up right there. Okay.
We know the balance of what's in that fund.
No, it's like north of, I think, $4 million last I was aware of doing the accounting for it. Every once in a while, Reed.
I'm just having a meeting, but it's fine. What's up?
Would have the auditor come give a report, but it was north of $4 million when I left as auditor. We've had a few withdrawals, but it's also accruing interest at the PTIF rate, give or take 4 or 5%. Well, I guess that was the good years, but 3-4%.
Okay. Motion to approve the application. Second.
All those in favor?
I heard some chatter online. Was there somebody trying to make a comment?
Oh. It's a good thought. I thought it was maybe just someone not muted. Is there someone online that wanted to make a comment?
Nate, are they making a recommendation to the COG?
Yeah, so the model is that you recommend to the
COG. You recommend to the COG, then the COG will approve.
I'll withdraw my second.
Red tape, Tanya.
Well, but you said they approve it.
Yeah, well, that's all of them approving is the recommendations.
Oh, I'm going to make a comment.
So motion to recommend.
Okay.
Second.
All right. If there isn't any discussion, again, further discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That motion carries. Do we have any voting people online?
Commissioner Cousins just joined.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Cousins, are you where you could unmute if you needed to?
I'm on. I'm sorry. I was a little bit, I got a phone call, so I'm a little bit late getting on.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll wait to hear from you. All right. We're going to move now to item 5, which is the travel demand model. And Natalia Brown is here to talk to us about that.
All right. I'm telling people online.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to share. Thanks for reminding me.
It's nice, show. All right. Oh, I got that. Okay. All right. So my name is Natalia Brown. I'm with UDOT, with the planning division. And what we do to support long-range planning is create some tools to help us understand what the future could look like given certain conditions, primarily where people and jobs and homes are growing. So Nate thought that it would be good to explain a little bit of this process and what it means to you specifically. The planners and engineers have heard this before, but for you also to be aware of this tool that not only UDOT can use, but really if you have consultants working on projects here, doing master plans, things like that, this could be helpful for them. Go for it. There we go. Going to the next. Okay, so we're talking about a travel demand model, which is fancy word for just a planning tool that we use specifically for long-range planning. So this we're looking 10, 20, 30 years out, and is to look at a region. So Iron County as a county as a whole has its own travel demand model. Various regions have their own. So the Wasatch Front has its own to help with their planning efforts. Washington County has its own to help with their planning efforts. So Iron, it's the last one that we've built, like 4 years ago. And so we're now keeping up to date to help with, any planning, efforts. So I'll go to the next. Okay. So these models, and in particular for Iron County, it's the idea is to support planning this, transportation planning decisions. So as you're making decisions of, you know, what projects to fund or what the timing of those projects or when you may need some of these future projects, this tool can help with inform some of those decisions. And it's specific for the county. So this is not a general tool. This is specifically for this county, and it covers all the cities in the county. These are big picture idea patterns. So, you know, as Cedar City grows and Eno grows, for example, how much travel will be between those two cities, for example. It's not going to help with anything like an intersection or if you need to put turning bays or extend turning bays or put a center turning, nothing like that. But just understand travel patterns, you know, how much more volume are we going to get in a certain roadway because of all the growth that is expected in the city or in the county. So that's the type of questions that it can help answer. So I have here a few examples that are specific for this area. So the first is showing the impact of either widening a road, adding an interchange on I-15, adding a new road somewhere. So for example, how would the travel patterns change if we add the Enoch interchange that I know.
I like that.
I knew that was going to be well received by you. So this could help just understand, you know, how much are we pulling out from the North Cedar interchange, for example? How much volume are we going to get to the road that this would connect? So it could help just understand that. So then it informs those that are making decisions about that type of project. Go to the next one, please. Thank you. Every city and the county probably has a transportation master plan. So what this could also help is understand if all the projects in the transportation master plan occurs, what's the benefit that we're going to be getting? You know, how much less congestion we're going to get, or especially versus not doing it. So if we don't do anything, what's going to look like? But if we do it, what's going to look like, and make that those comparisons. Go to the next one, please. Thank you. Another big one is this is more project-based. So when you were looking at adding a roadway or something like that, you may want to know how much volume it's on a specific corridor given the expected growth. So this could also help with that. So given, you know, whatever growth we're expecting, we expect SR 130 to have about this many vehicles, or I-15 or whatever road we're looking at. And the other thing that it's very helpful to do with this tool is you may have various ways that the cities or the county will be growing. So we could also test if it grows more on the east side or more on the west side, or a neighborhood densifies more than other, it could help understand how the travel patterns are going to change if that were to happen. So this tool is just to help understand what could occur. It's not a crystal ball by any means. It just helps provide additional information, just like when you talk to the public or various, you know, experts in various areas. This is just a piece of information that you could use in making those decisions. One thing that is super important for this tool are these four things. Number of households. Where, because again, this is looking into the future. So when we sometimes come and ask, well, where, what building, what subdivisions have you approved recently? Or where do you think, you know, new neighborhoods are going to come up because you've been talking to developers? That is super important for us because that guides where people would be and how many trips would be in this, in the area. So number of households and population are super important to us. And some of you were in the meetings for the long range plan where we discussed this. So that's why we were doing, asking those questions. Number of jobs, that also where people live and where people are going, basically is what's important for this. And then the other piece is for roadways that are more regional. If there are any new roadways connecting, major areas, or you've added lanes or things like that, that also helps for the capacity of those roads, like how much can those roads can handle. That's also an important piece of information because we do the demand piece, but we also look at the supply thing, what connections people can use to get to where they need to go. So the last one. So here I have one more. Thank you. Just some ideas of how you could use this model. We use it specifically for the long range, the UDOT long range plan, the rural long range plan. But this also is helpful for your communities when you're doing transportation master plan, where the RPO is doing their plan as well. If you have future projects to further assess the bell route, this could help with that. Or just trying to estimate future roadway volumes. It can help with things like that. And if you have consultants, typically they would contact us to get access to this and use it for their project. And now I think you, the county is doing a facilities plan or something. So their consultant has reached out to get this. So this is just helpful information for you to know that this is available. And you could use it. You can contact us to get it. So with that, I don't know if you have any questions about this.
So basically, if we need that, we reach out to you and you get the information from this.
So we could do some analysis for you if they are unique, like if you just want to test, hey, what would happen if X thinks. If they're small, we can do that. But if you need a bigger project, your consultant would have access to this to do it. But we have it off the box as well. And we'll probably next year, we'll have an online map with the official projections or the projections that we are putting out for the public to have to see how much each of the roadway volumes would be in 2055. based on our assumptions.
So my question is this also like a one time a year thing, or as things happen and change, should we reach out to you with those projects and information, or is this like we did that intake meeting and we all worked around the maps? Is this just to kind of keep it on ice until it's time to do that again deal?
So we're going to try to be coming out once a year to get information. So then we do update it every 4 years, but the fresher the information is, then the easier it's going to be to make the update. So we'd like to come once a year to know, you know, what's the latest approvals? Are there new conversations, especially with major developments? Like the Iron Horse here, for example, would be good. Like how fast are they building so we can project that properly and have the right amount in the tool.
Okay. So you don't want to hear from us until it's your outreach.
Oh, you can absolutely reach out to us. So we actually, Chris here, usually when he's involving projects, he shoots me an email with like, hey, we've got this, or, and so then we can keep it, and update it as needed.
Okay. So it's kind of living, breathing.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yes. Yes.
That's what I wanted. I was trying to get to that.
Oh, yes. Yes. You can just reach out, and Nate too. Like I coordinate a lot with Nate. So as you're discussing developments, Nate, you can kind of shoot me an email with like, this is the latest. And if you have plans, that's super helpful for us, because then we can kind of put it in the proper locations.
The UDOT team is working on this all the time, like all the time. So that would just, if you think it's important, you don't have Natalie's information, send it to me and I'll get it to her. We coordinate monthly.
Yes.
On the model. So.
Yes. It takes a long time to put this tool together, but if we know of things, we can update it kind of in between, and that's no problem. Any other questions? Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move now to future agenda, makeup, and approach, item 6, and it's either Dan Jessen or Nate Weiberg. I'm not sure. It looks like it's Nate. He looks right.
Yeah, Dan passed it off to me.
You got it.
So I may need some support for Dan. We talked a little bit about this about 6 months ago. One of the challenges with the order of these meetings is that we have legislative members coming or giving updates, and also the time to coordinate between all the cities and stuff. We've always done that in the COG. One of the challenges is that the RTEC has to make recommendations to the COG, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to do a COG before the RTEC meeting. But I think Mayor Nelson recommended maybe doing that beforehand.
Well, the way we do it's clunky. That's what Cam would say. It's clunky.
Clunky.
So Nate came up with a good idea of how to, because we only have things that the COG legally has to do rarely. Like today is one of them, corridor preservation application approval, which has to come after RTEC.
Yeah.
But most time we can do an informal, you know, whether it's a COG meeting or not, but
we could even go back to the old term Iron County Coordinating Council and do that just prior to RTEC, and then open up the COG only when we get those final approvals.
So all the special guests and everybody that's here, we can get all of that stuff done, and then we can move on to the technical transportation stuff afterwards.
So you're thinking like even legislative updates first?
Yeah, right. That's what we're saying. Correct? Don't you hate it? You're here to talk, and we're talking all this transportation stuff.
Yeah. I'm not here to talk. I'm just here to listen.
We're here to listen to you.
Well, I think we do sometimes lose people or press time, you know, because people are waiting, and we don't do that till the end.
And so both things are bad because sometimes we hurry some of the transportation stuff that we should spend a little bit more time on because we're wanting to – we want to have a long meeting, but we want to give time to those that are special guests and things like that. So I don't know how we'd do it from an agenda standpoint. Just have literally only do we could do an Iron County Coordinated Council, and we could either have it totally informal and not agendize it, or we could, what was your thinking from an agenda standpoint, Nate?
It could be posted as the Iron County Coordinating Council, which is a body that already exists on the county's portion of the meeting, public meeting website, and just do it there as like the official method if you guys want to do that, and then just open that up, do all of the county discussions and hear from everybody, and then close that, open up RTEC, do the transportation stuff. So similar to how we were.
But that would be because we're needed. So that might actually be the year of the open.
So. So yeah, RTEC would be always, and then okay. COG would be as the use of it.
So on that COG meeting, well, we would know that we need it prior. So and I don't know if there's any noticing.
So yeah, there's a couple of ways. I would just send it out whenever we need it ahead of time, kind of like how I send you the agendas and things like that. Generally, we know about those items at the RTAC meeting. So like these COG stuff that needs to be approved by the COG today, we knew about at the beginning of June. So I could just send out an email after the TAC meetings to say, hey.
You'd almost have kind of a standing agenda for the ICCC that's, you know, mayor and commissioner updates, legislative updates, and have kind of just that standing agenda and only, you know, get into specific details if we need to. And then again, we don't even have a COG agenda other than when we need to, and we'll always know that a month in advance most of the time.
It's usually only a couple times. With this, we meet six times a year, and I think we do COG like twice. Like we have to have COG twice a year, maybe three.
All right. So are we approving kind of shifting the agenda around, or is this just a, hey, this is how administratively we've decided this probably flows better and is less clunky?
Well, I didn't put this as an action item. I don't know if it even needs to be an action.
Administrative, right?
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone have any input on that? Do we like that? Does that seem logical?
It makes sense.
The logical mayor down there?
I want to do it. I only show up when I have time. I think it still is when we do the coordinated meeting. And if there are specific things that we want to discuss, to still give on agenda, so
yep.
People come. I think that the other have some thoughts with the other.
Yep.
That'd be my only other piece of input. I'll just get to the casual about having a standing, but we, you know, still put things on there that we agreed enough.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. Thanks for putting some thought to that and freezing it up today. All right, so we're now going to move to our UDOT updates by Chris Hall.
I don't have a lot of updates today. I forgot to send out the reminder so I could get all the updates for the projects, but I don't think there's anything major. I think all the projects we've discussed previously are kind of moving forward, no major changes. I think the biggest update that I wanted to provide is that we have an emerging area group in our planning division. And so it's basically kind of the growing areas of the state. Iron County, Cedar City, Enoch is kind of one of those highlighted areas. So Nate's been working with our emerging area coordinator, Travis Hare. And so UDOT's going to fund a consultant to come in and kind of help. And I think we've talked about this before, kind of list the steps and the federal requirements and the law for transitioning to an NPO. So once the next census comes out, you'll be at that point and you have to be prepared and start transitioning and working a little bit differently. And so to make that as easy as possible, we're going to try and get the consultant to kind of lay all that out to say, you know what, in the next year, here are some tasks that would be ideal if completed, and then kind of lay that out over the next 4 or 5 years so that everything's ready when that census comes through and finalizes. So and I think the reason for this is in past times we've generated an NPO in the state, it's been a while. Sometimes it gets ignored until the last minute, and then it's a scramble to try and say, what do we need to do? And a whole bunch of changes all at once. This is kind of say, let's get prepared before, so it's not as much of a heavy lift at the time. So, and so we should have a consultant selected by the end of the week, and then we'll coordinate with Nate to try and say, make sure we have the scope correct, and then we can kind of work to make sure that we're meeting the county's needs of what they would like to see from that. And we want to make sure that we include you guys as stakeholders in that, whether it's you guys as the executive or your advisor group, to put input and hear those conversations, to us and know what's coming and make sure it meets your guys' needs as well. So
it reminds again what the MPO threshold was.
50,000.
And we're expecting that, I mean, we're assuming that this is going to happen no matter what, right?
Yeah, because I think you're only like 4,000 off in the 2020 census, so it's almost guaranteed.
Seems like we've been seeing
that. Yeah. In fact, there was a lot of thought. We put a lot of, that's why we built the Iron County, the travel demand model before. We kind of expected it to happen in the 2020 census, and we were just shy. So we kind of ramped up a little bit before then and like, oh, we missed it. And so now it's getting closer again. So we're like, okay, let's start doing that same thing to make sure we're prepared. Yeah.
So we're pre-gaming because we know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I just kind of add something to that. So it's 50,000 in what the census defines as the urbanized area. Mm-hmm. So that's mostly it's basically a population density thing, and it's mostly that population density mostly falls within Cedar and Enoch, but then there can also be a planning boundary outside of that. So, but I think the current census urbanized area is at 46,000 right now. That's an estimate. And the county itself is well over, we're like 60,000 or something like that.
And then that's also one of the things we're going to look at, because the NPO boundaries are defined where that population density is. So, because right now the RPO covers basically the whole county, but when it becomes the metropolitan area, it changes those boundaries. So there's a possibility that some of the entities may be out of that because of the population density. But that's something that we're going to want to look into, because I think it makes a lot of sense to include Parowan and Bryanhead in that NPO planning group. Sure. And Canaryville, if they want. I think they want to be out of it. So that's what we're going to look at as part of this study, to say, what are our options as far as what the requirements are, and do we have leeway to change boundaries, or how far can we change the planning boundaries to try and incorporate as many entities as possible to make sure that there's still countywide coordination with transportation.
So what's the emergency area group? Is that like, that's something that's just QDOT, it's Utah, and now we're just starting to do it here because we haven't really had a lot of change, but now we are?
It's fairly new. It's the emerging area, and I think it's only been around for 5 years, and I can't remember, I don't know where the funding came from, but essentially, I think the legislature said, we're going to set aside money to help some of these fast-growing communities to make sure that they're getting the help they need. And that, so that's what it is that we have a dedicated amount that you got set aside for the planning and emerging areas across the state. So,
any other questions in the room or online for Chris?
Thank you.
All right, we're moving now to local transportation project studies and updates by us. So, can you want to start?
I think the only thing that's kind of is that Highway 91, well, 91, and that was pretty out till August, I believe, right? August. And we did get some questions about I thought this was supposed to start a while ago. But anyways, the only other kind of just note I wanted to make is that Ellis Electric started the breaking ground on their new facility. Thanks, Steve, for being there.
No worries. I'll give you. She's going to extend our conversation.
Yeah. but that's something that will impact us with traffic and things as they start hiring.
I'll just touch a couple things super quick. Our bridge is still kind of stalled with meeting the high pressure gas moved by Enbridge. They acted like it wasn't that big of a thing when we first started talking, and now they're the last ones to get it done. So that's a bit of a stressor, but it looks like it's going to happen in July, the construction starting the end of July. We have a sidewalk going in on 200. Everyone's losing their minds about how long it's taking, but it's awesome. It's going to be great. It's going to keep all the kids out there that are on the edge of town safe coming into town. The other thing is this corridor preservation money, getting our east-west collector is really important because we're going to have our first little segment of frontage road not too far in the future, and Parowan will have a frontage road, which, you know, that's a game changer for a city from an economic standpoint. So those things are all out there brewing and moving, and good news for Parowan Prep being able. I always just say we stand on our own 2 feet. It's the goal. What do you have, Mayor Nelson?
I was going to just ask, is there been much coordination with the county for the belt route piece to be able to use for the water line coming from the sewer plant to bring the secondary water line back in?
I don't know.
The effluent line? I know that Rich has been coordinating quite a bit with them on that effluent line. You're talking about, I think it's from 2300 West towards the east.
Yeah, basically from the plant being able to come back to tie in the Enix line, and then we can tie into the city.
Yeah, I know they haven't been coordinating with me very much, but I have heard Rich talking about it.
So they keep expecting it to be on this agenda.
That deal fell through with the Clarks.
Yeah.
Maybe Ryan can talk. That's why a couple of properties were added to the border preservation list that was just added.
Well, do you want to come up, Brian?
Well, I think the mayor could probably speak to it more than I can, but we just had a couple lots, parcels come up, and I think they're technically in the county, but they just came up. They're along that gateway or that corridor the belt route for the corridor preservation funding. So,
what stage do you just eminent domain because it's a belt route committee?
I think that's well and. That was part of the discussion we had.
And we haven't been in communication on that, but it sounds like I thought that was moving forward, but I don't know that.
Well, and that part of the conversation at our meeting last month is there a way that we could.
So you can't use corridor preservation if it was eminent domain. Somebody's got to pay. Huh?
Corridor preservation funds are only available if you have a willing seller.
That's what I'm saying. You cannot.
So part of our conversation with these lots was just if there was some way we could maybe bypass, but I don't, it would be quite a significant change.
Commissioner Cousins, I don't know if you're there, but do you have any information on that?
I went out, if I understand what you're talking about exactly, I was out there with Rich Wilson talking to one of those landowners just to the south of the wastewater treatment plant. There's an Enix sewer line that goes there's that road. There's a road that's, I can't think of the farmer's name. He lives in New Harmony, but there's a road just to the south of his farm, and there's an Enix sewer line that parallels that road going east and west. And then if you go east on that line, it kind of 45s down to Minersville Highway. And when I talked to, we were discussing that they could possibly, if you're talking about the effluent, the type one effluent that they need to bring down for the secondary water system, we could possibly go into that same easement with that. Is that the issue you're talking about?
Well, we're kind of talking, there was a, yes, that area we were talking about, that there was a, we were trying to come to an agreement with the property owner, and they are not cooperating.
Right. I knew that Paul Monroe was trying to get an agreement quickly because he had like $1 million grant that was going to expire. Yes. Correct. And that fell through. So it seems, I don't know. I know that there was eminent domain talk on the table.
I think that's still pretty, we want to know where we're at with that, but it's still pretty high priority. We've got the infrastructure, building the plant, we've got almost all the money allocated from state and federal processes to help get it built, and we got to have the acquisition of land to put it in. So that's pretty high priority, I think. But, yeah, I don't know where we're at with eminent domain, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm just curious.
Looking at the map, it seemed logical to follow that sewer line that goes to the east and that goes down.
Ideally, it's best to keep that belt route property all the way through where we want to have infrastructure for long-term planning, just stick it all in that same place as the ideals.
I mean, it makes sense. That seems like it would be the easiest way to go, but
Right. Okay. People will do it.
That's good. I just want to kind of make sure it was on radars and where we were having discussions with the county. So.
Mayor, I think that the idea was to make a deal with the farm on the Bell Route.
Are you still talking to us, Paul?
Yeah.
Kind of went fuzzy.
Sorry. Can you hear me now?
All right. I think he's talking to people around him.
No, I think you're still
talking to us.
Well, we're not hearing you anymore. Are you talking to us?
Yes, I was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We couldn't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I know that there was I know they were trying to work out a deal with the Belt Route access, and then they would just use that for the water line, but I think the whole thing fell through with Clark.
I guess that's my question with the counties. Obviously, won't account for preservation funds if we can't even domain it, but at some point, we got to just have our discussions about if that's where the road needs to go, and we need to get the road through.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, kind of on the fly.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Commissioner Robinson, we're just talking about any updates on the transportation project studies updates.
Thanks.
All right. Prince says nothing. Anyone else in the room or online? Okay. So with Brian Head.
Just a little update. We had a we've got a showstop crosswalk project that's going in as we speak, and we found a random septic tanks on unmarked gas lines, and I'm still waiting for him to tell me that we found Hoffa. We're finding everything under the ground in Brian Head. But anyway, that's moving forward. That's partially funded by UDOT. Boy, what money is that one?
First mile, last mile.
That's first and last mile. Thanks.
Right. Is all you got?
I just remembered one other thing that I wanted to bring up. So the Utah Department of Health applied for a health grant from the federal government. And they received, I think, $55 million that's supposed to go to rural Utah to help with improving health. And UDOT got involved because they kind of anticipated a lot of it going towards trails or sidewalks. And so I wanted to provide an update. So UDOT's helping manage that $55 million. So it's $11 million per year for the next 5 years. And we got to move pretty fast because we have to have all the projects that we want to do for the first $11 million all set and ready to go by the end of the month, because we have to spend the money by September of 2027, like built the projects. And then so the first 2 years, we're trying to move pretty fast. But after that, there'll be more of an application process for anybody in the rural counties to say, hey, we've got these ideas to help with health. It can go towards like shade structures or along trails or parks or other things. Like one of the things that they specifically mentioned was like pocket parks, like small parks, sidewalk gaps, and things like that. So if you have any of those places in your communities that you would like to get some funding for, reach out to myself or Tracy Munson and let us know. We have a deadline of next week to have kind of that first round of projects in. And that's pretty difficult because we need cost estimates with that first round.
We have stuff that's already hustled in, and we could like refund.
Yeah, so if you have projects of things like we want to do, we've got some good cost estimates, you know, send it to us and we can put it on that list. And it's going to be kind of reviewed at the state level because it's all of the rural counties. So only four of the counties don't qualify for this funding. So they're going to look at it and say, what are the priorities over across the whole state? And so if you have any sidewalk gaps or...
I think Enoch has a few sidewalk gaps.
That doesn't count to redo your last city. You can put sidewalks in.
That's the frustrating part, is because we had thought that would be great, but they specifically said sidewalk gaps have to be less than a quarter mile, which is really limiting. So, but once again, when it comes with federal money, sometimes you have that head scratcher portion of it. So,
sidewalk.
It's a defining gap pretty liberally, right?
Yeah. So there's lots of stuff that we don't know for sure. So if you have a well-defined project, let us know, and The worst case scenario, you might get a no. But
like you said, over 5 years, I said, so this is something we could look at of some stuff.
So that's why I want to get on your radar to start thinking.
Friday next week, by when's your
Wednesday day? Of next week.
I don't think we have any projects, but that'd be some.
0% match, right?
Yeah, 0% match. So
what? Wait, we might have some.
And some of the projects that were the fast ones is like there's a lot of existing multi-use paths and trails that are old that need to be resurfaced or rehabilitated, and that qualifies. So if you need to resurface or fix some of the cracks in the existing trails.
You sort of need to have pricing a bit. That's not going to be the hard part unless you've got some.
Yeah, so if you have good pricing on anything, in the future they even said that it would possibly – right now – UDOT's never done playground equipment, and so we're not sure if we can legally do it through our system. But I think our attorneys and the attorney generals were looking into that today. So in the future, we might be able to even do like playground equipment for parks, like new playground equipment.
Shade structures
at parks.
But not yet.
I think that may be even possible now if you have a good cost estimate. But that's one of the questionable areas because it's going through UDOT system. We've never bid something like that. We would have to rely heavily on the applicant to provide a lot of the specifications and everything. So, but once again, if you have ideas and cost estimates, let us know and we'll put it on the first list. But in future years, this will be more of an application process.
The first year is right now. The second year is still kind of in a hurry too.
It's still in a hurry. They said that we have to have that project list by the end of July. So we've got a few more weeks, but not much. So.
Okay, we're going to go to work.
Use the engineer's estimate, right? You don't need, a bid.
Not a bid yet.
We just need an engineer's estimate.
Just the engineer's estimate. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Thank you for not forgetting that.
Yeah.
Now, something like that, where it's rural counties, in the next census, when we switch over, that would that kick us out for stuff like that?
No, because Washington County is still considered it. One of the rural counties. I don't know how they figured Washington County was still rural, but you're not going to get out of that before the 5 years. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Right. Great. Anyone else have anything to add on transportation updates online or in the room? Okay. Got Brett?
Just real quick, there was a question on what the status is, what the balance is on the corridor preservation funds. I sent a quick message to the county auditor. He said it's about $7.5 million right now.
Oh.
Right, good to know. All right. Did you have something else, Mr. Justin?
Gone a long time.
Right. So with that, we will look forward to the next meeting, September 2nd. That will be in Parowan, and then I just need a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor? Okay. So moving now.